We're going to start again from the middle of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, just to get from the beginning of the sugya, the kinyan aperos kikinyan haguf sugya. So we're starting from the word itmar. First word on the line is delesu. We're at the second word on the line, middle of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Itmar, hamochas hadeh leperos, Rabbi Yochanan amar mevi bikori, v'shlagash amar mevi ve'en okori. The machlokas is about bringing bikurim. So if a person sells his field only for the peros in the field, Rabbi Yochanan says you bring bikurim, and not only bring bikurim, you're able to read the parsha. And Reish Lakish says that you're mevi bikurim, but ve'en okori. You can't do the mikra bikurim because you can't say that this land is your land. It's not. It wasn't land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to you. So since you're not going to be able to say that this is the land, Rachis Pri Adama, Asher Nasatali, right? You're not able to say that this is the Adama, Asher Nasatali, so you can't be Kore. Rabbi Yochanan maybe the Kore, so why does Rabbi Yochanan think you can be Kore, that you can say that it's the Adama Asher Nasatali, Kinyan Aperos ka Kinyan Aguf Dami? Because the Kinyan Aperos means that you have a Kinyan Aguf as well. It means is considered to be a Kinyan Aguf, meaning you're able to say that the land belongs to you when all you own is the rights to the Peros in the land. Resh Lakish says, no, when you have the Kinyan HaPeros, that's what you have. You can't say you own the land, you only own the Peros in the land. So there's a discussion over here. The Chasam Sofer asks in his Truvas, in Choshen Mishpatzim, in Kuf Lamed Aleph, he asks, why is it that over here we assume that if Kinyan HaPeros is lav ki Kinyan HaGuf Dami, you're not going to be able to say Reishis Pri Adama Asher Nasatali? Yet when it comes to an Esrog, when we know that on the first day the Dalad Minim have to be Lachem, it has to also belong to you, nevertheless, Matan Al Menas Lahachzir works. You give someone a Matan, an Esrog that's Matan Al Menas Lahachzir, Matan Al Menas that he gives it back to you, it's going to work, even though Lech Ora, all he really has is a Kinyan Peros. He's able to use it for a short time, and then he's got to give it back anyway. So the Chasam Sofer answers that perhaps there's a difference between Asher Nasata Li, which is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if you're speaking directly to Hashem, and you're saying that you gave it to me, in which case you would need a Nesina Mukhletas, you would need an absolute Nesina. But had it only said Asher Li, that it's mine, without saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, all you needed to say is that it's yours, then maybe a Nechinami, then maybe a Kinyan HaPeros would have been enough. But say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, that's going to be the problem. That's what you can't say. So by Esrog, all it says, by Dalad Minim, all it says is Lachem, that it's yours. It doesn't say that someone had to give it to you. So therefore, Kinyan HaPeros is going to be enough. That's one answer he gives. Another answer he gives is that by Matan Al Menas Lahachzir, it's not only a Kinyan HaPeros. Matan Al Menas Lahachzir is absolutely a Matan Mukhletas. It's just Al Tanai that you give it back. And if the guy wants to be mochel the Tanai, you're not going to need a new kinyan or anything. If a person wants to be mochel the Tanai, that's it. It's done. It's yours. So matana al-manas achzir is a real matana in the guf of whatever he's giving you. In the guf of the dalad minim, it's not just a kinyan peros. It's a matana with a Tanai that's probably going to take it away from you unless the guy's mochel the Tanai. But over here, we're talking about where all your kona is the peros. And if you want to be kona the guf akarka, well, then you're going to have to make another kinyan. It's not going to be enough to just for the guy to just say a mochel or whatever. You need an actual form of kinyan in order to be called the guf hakarka. So over here, you really all you have is the peros. Okay, says the Gemara. So again, we're going to try to bring rayas one way or the other. So we quoted this part yesterday. When it comes to bringing fruits from his wife's fields, the halacha is based on a drasha from a pasuk. You're allowed to bring your wife's bikurim. Your wife's bikurim, you only have a kinyan peros in, you don't have a kinyan aguf in. If that's the case, how can you bring your wife's bikurim? Isn't this a raya that kinyan peros is not just bring, but do the mikra bikurim? Isn't this a raya that kinyan peros is kinyan aguf? He says, no, that's why you need a pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to do it, because otherwise I would have assumed naturally that you're not allowed to do it because kinyan peros is lav kinyan aguf. So then the Gemara uses this same raya in the other direction. direction. V'ikadamri, Eser Rav Shimon ben Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Rav Shimon ben Lakish used this as a raya against Rav Yochanan. Ulebeischa, Mela Mechad, maybe Bikuri Yishtov Akore. Because the Pasuk says Ulebeischa, that's why I know that you're allowed to be Kore, you're allowed to do Mikra Bikurim on your wife's Bikurim, even though all you have is Kinyan Peros. Doesn't that imply that it's only a special drasha over there by the special kinyan peros you have in your wife's bikurim? But normally a regular kinyan peros that you would have, you would not be allowed to do mikra bikurim. Doesn't this prove that kinyan peros is lav kikinyan aguf dami? Amalei taima didinami mehacha kamina. He says, no, that's my very source for kinyan peros kikinyan aguf dami. I don't view ula beischa as a as an exception to the rule. Adraba, it's the source of the rule. Nematzinu l'kala tarakula. That just like by your wife's bikurim, you're allowed to be mevi v'kore, even though all you have is a kinyan peros. So we see that kinyan peros is kinyan aguf l'gava, your wife's stuff. So too everywhere else. Whenever you have a kinyan peros, it's going to be considered kinyan aguf, and you're going to be allowed to be mevi v'kore. That's the actual source. So Gemara tries to bring another raya. Esvei hayababa derech bikure yishto biyad. A guy is traveling and he has the bikurim of his wife, and then he finds out that his wife died, so he's allowed to be mevi vikore. So mesa in lo mesa lo. Sounds like it's only because she died. He inherited it, and that's why he's allowed to be mevi vikore. But it sounds like had she not died, and he was just bringing his wife's bikurim, and all he has is a kinyan peros, he would not be able to be mevi v'korei. He would only be mevi. He would not be able to be korei. Sounds like kinyan peros lav kikinyan aguf dami. So says Gemara, no, hu adin diafugav de lo mesa. Even if she wouldn't have died, he would be able to be mevi v'korei. Why does it have to tell me the case of mesa? If the halacha is even when she's alive, he's allowed to be mevi v'korei. Umesa tzrichle, because I would have thought mesa makes it even worse. Salka daita chamin, I would have thought ligzer mishum de Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. I would have thought that we would have not allowed him to be korei the mikra bikurim in a case where his wife died because of a gezera, that we should be concerned for the case of Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. What was Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina's halacha? Dam Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, batran v'shigran biat shliach. Let's say you take your bikurim together, you pile it up, and you hand it over to a shliach to bring for you. Umeis shliach bederech, and the shliach dies along the road, and then you have to bring it yourself. Mevi ve'eino korei. You bring the bikurim, but you're unable to do the mikra bikurim, even though you're bringing your own. It's mamish yours. Why? V'lakachta ve'vesa achte l'kicha v'ava be'echad. Because the l'kicha of the bikurim and the hava'a of the bikurim have to be done by the same person. And since over here you are a shliach, initially bringing the bikurim, so therefore it's not going to be good. So I might have thought the same is true when it comes to you bringing your wife's bikurim. Even though you are the same person, you were bringing it before she died, and you were bringing it after she died. But since when you were bringing it before she died, you were only bringing it as the owner of the kinyan peros, and now that you're finishing the job as the owner of the kinyan aguf as well as the owner of everything, I might think you're considered like two different people, which. And therefore, that's the chisaron, and that's why you can't be korei. Kamash melon, that you can be korei. That you're not considered like two different people. But hu adin, if the wife didn't die, the guy would also be allowed to be mevi v'korei, because kinyan aperos is, in fact, ke kinyan aguf. So says Gemara va'azul tamayu. This machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is a machlokas lishitasam. This machlokas about kinyan peros kinyan aguf, we find they argue about elsewhere. De itmar amocher sadeu bismancha yovel noeg. If a person sells his field during those years when we still have yovel, when we're still noeg yovel, when we have rov yoshveha aleha in Eretz Yisrael, and we are able to observe yovel, so during yovel, why is this important to kinyan peros? Because during yovel, when we observe yovel, so every 50 years, the karka rather goes back to the original owners. So anytime you buy karka when yovel is noeg, all you're really buying is a kinyan aperos for X amount of years, however many years there are until the yovel. But the actual gufa karka is going to go back to its original achuza, to its original holding in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan or mevi v'korei, Rabbi Yochanan says, still you can be mevi v'korei, it's yours. So we see kinyan aperos is kinyan gufa, Reish Lakish, or mevi maybe ve'ino kare. Rabbi Yochanan Amar maybe v'kare kinya peres kinya guf dami. Like we said, because kinya peres kinya guf, so therefore you're able to bring the bikurim and do the mikro bikurim. Reish Lakish Amar maybe ve'ino kare kinya peres lav kinya guf dami. Reish Lakish will say no, you cannot be kare because all you have is a kinya peres. It's not kinya guf. So we see the machlokas comes up twice. Once they argue directly about selling your field for its peros, can you bring the bikurim? And in the other case, they argue about selling a field when yovel is noeg. Can you do mikro bikurim? So they argue about the same. It's the same machlokas. It's all about kinya peros, kinya guf or not. So obviously, if they're arguing twice, the Gemara is going to ask the question, why would you argue twice about the same thing? So says Gemara Ritzricha, we need both machlokas, and both the machlokas regarding your mocher, your sada, liperos directly, and the case of your mocher, the field, but it happens to be during a time when Yovel is noeg. Diit merbai he, if we were only told the machlokas in the case where your mocher, your sada for the peros, all you sold was the peros, was the rights to the peros, by he come Reish Lakish dechi kanachis adaita de piro kanachis. That's what Reish Lakish is going to say. That's what Reish Lakish is going to say, that kinya peros is lav ki kinya guf dami, because the deal originally, it says in the shtar, all you're buying is the peros. You're only planning on taking the peros. That's all that you ever had in mind. Aval b'hach, but when you buy a field during times that Yovel is noeg, da'adaita d'gufe kanachis, you're buying a field, right? It happens to be the halacha limits you to a kinyan peros, but it doesn't say that in the shtar. It just says you're buying a field. The halacha happens to be that you're going to have to return at Yovel, but your intention clearly is to buy the whole field. So, Eimah Modulei the Rabbi Yochanan, I might think Reish Lakish would be Modulei the Rabbi Yochanan, that sort of Kinyan Peros is Kikinyan Aguf Dami. You're buying whatever you can. You're buying the entire field for whatever for whatever one is able to buy a field for. So your intention is to really own the field. So I might think in that case Reish Lakish would be Modulei the Rabbi Yochanan. V'yit Mar Bahan, had I only been told the Machlokas by a Yovel case, I would say Bahakam Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, that's where Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Kinyan Peros is Kikinina Guftami, and you're going to be Mevi Vikore, because over there, like we said, you're buying the field. Aval Bahach, but in a case where you're only buying the Peros, Ema Modele Reish Lakish, I might think Rabbi Yochanan will be Modele to Reish Lakish, that Eina Chinami, the Kinyan Peros, in such a case, is not Kikinina Guftami, Tzricha. That's why I need both cases for the machlokas, so that I could know that they each maintain their opinion, both in the case of Yovel as well as in the case where you sell only the peros of the karka, the rights to the peros of the karka. Tashma, another raya, hakona ilan v'karkao mevi v'korei. A person acquires a tree with karka around it. So he does mikro bikurim. He brings the bikurim and he does mikro bikurim. What's the raya? We're assuming that this is during a time that Yovel is noheg. So even though eventually that land is going to go back to its original owner, and all you really have over here is a kinyan peros, nevertheless, we see your mevi vikare. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan's correct. Kinyan peros is kinyan aguf dami. Answers Reish Lakish, no. Hachab mayaskinan bizman she'ina Yovel noheg. That's talking about when there is no Yovel. When the Yovel is not noheg, that's when we're going to say that you're allowed to be mevi v'kori. But when Yovel is noeg, and you're keeping it indefinitely, and you're not keeping it indefinitely, you're only keeping it till Yovel, so then you would not be able to be kori. Tashma, a fourth raya. Hakona shnei ilanos b'toch sedeo shel chavero, mevi ve'eno kore. If all you buy is two trees within your friend's field, you could be maybe the bikurim, but you're not allowed to be kore. Hashlosha, maybe vikore. That implies that had you bought anything more, namely three trees within the field, you would be maybe vikore. And again, the point is, even though that it's going to go back at Yovel, right? Why is there a difference between two and three? So the difference is that when you buy two trees, the assumption is you own the trees. When you buy three trees within a certain area, the assumption is that you own the land between the trees as well. So you own the karka, the actual karka. But again, the implication is that you'd be mevi vikore, that you really own the karka and you would do mikro bikurin. So hachinami bizman she'ena yovel noeg. So the Gemara says, no, that's also only talking about when there's no yovel. But if yovel were noeg and you would have to return it by the end of 50 years, so then in hachinami, it's only a kinyan peros, does not count as a kinyan aguf, and you would not be kore. Okay. V'hash adam Rav Chisda machlokas biyovel sheni, aval biyovel rishon divrei kol mevi v'korei. But once Rav Chisda said his chiddush that this whole machlokas about whether you're allowed to do mikra bikurim is only in the second yovel, but in the first yovel everyone holds you could be mevi v'korei. Da akati lo samach da'itayu. We'll explain what that means in a second. Da akati lo samach da'itayu, because people are not yet comfortable with it. Lo kasha haba yovel rishon biyovel sheni. Then these kashas aren't going to matter anyway, because you could simply answer anything that meaning if you hold maybe ve'eno kore any source that suggests maybe v'kore, you could just say that it's talking about yovel rishon, right? If you hold maybe ve'eno kore any source that's going to suggest maybe v'kore, just say it's talking about yovel rishon. Now, what does this mean? Yovel rishon, yovel sheni. So it says Rashi machlokas dreishlag Rabbi Yochanan biyovel sheni shemanu yisrael shekvar hurglu lahachzer karkaos. Yovel sheni means the second ever yovel. Yovel Rishon means the first ever after going into Eretz Yisrael. That the whole machlokas was only with once we're up to the second yovel and on, when people are already used to the idea of a yovel. People are already used to the idea that you have to return land. By hikam Reish Lakish maybe ve'enu kore. That's what Reish Lakish is going to say, that you're not allowed to do the mikra bikurim. D'samcha daiti demokra devadei hadrele. V'zeh batuach sheyachzi rena. Because the guy who sells his land knows he's getting it back. So when he sells the land, he understands he's only selling Kinyan Peros, and it works with the full knowledge that he's only that only Kinyan Peros is changing hands. That's why you're going to be mevi ve'enu kore. But biyovel rishon, kolhani masniyasa biyovel rishon, right? But the biyovel rishon, Rashi's going to say, he doesn't say explicitly, but we're supposed to be medayik biyovel rishon, when people are not yet used to the idea of land going back, of land that you sold being returned to you after some time. So we assume that when the mocher sells, he really thinks in the back of his mind, maybe it's gone forever. And he doesn't really think that he's only selling Kinyan Peros because it never happened yet. So he doesn't really believe the system is going to work, or he doesn't trust that the system is going to work. And therefore, it might be that he sells it totally, or that he has in mind that it might be sold totally, and therefore the purchaser is going to be able to be mevi v'kore. That's how Rashi understands. Now, the obvious kasha on Rashi's pshat is ma'ida hava hava, meaning why would we have full brisas telling us about what happened the very first time there was a yovel that was knowing in Eretz Yisrael? In what way is this at all relevant to us? Unless you say that once yovel starts up again, the same halachos are going to apply to the first yovel that we're going to have, because I guess if there's a major break between when we observe yovel and between when we observe the last yovel and the next one, so then maybe the same mistrust in whether the system is actually going to work is going to exist. So maybe then it would be, but even then, Hilchus of the Mashicha, the Gemara asks sometimes, that why are you telling me halacha now? Why are all these brises telling me Hilchus of the Mashicha, something that's not going to apply for a long, long time? But be that as it may, the Rambam has a totally different pshat over here. The Rambam in Hilchus Bikurim, Perek Dalet, Halacha Zayin, apparently understands this Gemara by making the following distinction. He says, Yovel Rishon means the first time that mocher had sold that field, where he's not yet sure he's going to get it back. But the second time, let's say I buy a field 2 years before the yovel, and I, as a young man, and I'm 20 years old, let's say, and it's 2 years before yovel, and I sell my field, right? So at that point, I'm not really sure if I'm really going to get it back at yovel. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, I'll get it back. So in that case, it's going to be considered kinyan aglof. But once I see that at that yovel I got it back, and then I sell the field after that yovel, before the next yovel, whatever, 25 years later, 30 years later, I sell the field again. Now, at that point, I'm pretty sure that as when I'm 72, whatever, I'm going to get that field back, that it is going to return because it worked last time. So it goes by each individual's personal experience, yovel rishon, yovel sheni. So then you understand very well, you certainly don't have that kasha of ma'ida hava hava or hilchus of the mashicha, because that's going to apply for each person on an individual basis. You can't ask ma'ida hava hava. It applies for each person. The difficulty is how often does that really happen, that that a person's going to make it from to sell a field by two different yovels. He has to time his life pretty perfectly. Okay, so anyway, actually not really, because you just have to make it past one yovel and then just do the mechira to figure out whether it's kin peros or kin naguf. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, lema katanayim. Maybe this whole machlokas about kin peros kin naguf is really machlokas tanayim. Minayin lokeach sadame avivik disha vachkach me saviv minayin shetei lefanav kistei achuza. Okay, a little bit of background before we really understand what we're talking about over here. Rashi gives a little bit of background about stei achuza. What's a stei achuza? Says Rashi, im hikdisha velo ga'ala kodem ayovel, if you were makdish a field, a stei achuza, and you were not goel, you did not buy it back before yovel, umachra gizbar liachar ena negelis, and the gizbar of hegdish sells it to someone else, ena negelis, oh, there's no way you're ever getting it back. Ukshi yotza biyovel miyad halokcha mina gizbar mischalekas lekoanim. So at yovel, you would think that field should go back to you, but a stei achuza that you were not, that you did not redeem prior to yovel, you gave tags, you did not redeem prior to yovel, at yovel it's going to go back to the base of Migdosh, and it's going to be mischalek as the Kohanim, it's going to be divided, it's going to belong to the Kohanim. Shenemar v'im lo yigal es hasada, these are psuk min chumish, v'hoi hasada b'tseisa v'gomer, that it's going to go to the Kohanim. U'stei mikna, that's stei achuza. Now stei mikna is, kishek disha v'lo gala, if you're makdish stei mikna and you were not goalit, u'machra ha'gizbar k'shi yotza b'yovel, chazeres l'baylam arishonim shemachrua l'makdish. Meaning, let's say I bought a field from someone, and then I makdish that field. So if I am not goal that field prior to Yovel, and the gizbar sold it to somebody else, who's it going to go back to at Yovel? The guy I bought it from. The original owner who had the original achuzah, the original Yerusha in that field. Shnemar b'shnasa yovel yashav hasada la'asher kaneu me'ito. The field goes back to the original guy. So that's the difference. So if I am makdish a field that's in my family holdings, that's in my family plot in Eretz Yisrael, I am makdish that field. So and the gizbar goes inside, and I don't redeem it by yovel, and the gizbar sells it. So at yovel, it's going to go to Kohanim. But if I'm makdish a field that I purchased at some point since the last Yovel from somebody else's family holding, and I makdish that, and the gizbar goes and sells it, at Yovel it's going to go back to the person I bought it from. It's going to go back to its original place. Now that we have that background, so let's see. Minayin lokeach sadeh me'aviv. How do I know that if I buy a field from my father, so my father's still alive, but I bought it from my father, v'hikdisha, and then I makdish the field, v'achar kach me'saviv, and then the guy's father dies, minayin shetel the fun of kistei achuza. How do I know that I treat that like a stei achuza? Tam lomar im esdei miknaso asher lo mistei achuza so. Pasuk says if you that a sada mikna is asher lo mistei achuza so. What does that mean? Sada sheinu ruuya li stei achuza. Yatzuzu sheruuya li stei achuza. Div Rabbi Div Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Div Rabbi Shimon say the only time you can label something as stei mikna is if it couldn't be a stei achuza. But something that is in my family holding, I just preempted the Yerusha and bought it from my father while he's still alive, so that's not going to be a stei mikna, that's going to be a stei achuza. Rameir omer, minayin lokech sada me'aviv umeis aviv v'achar kach hikdisha minayin shetei lefanav kistei achuza. Rameir says, how do I know that if a guy buys a field from his father, then the father dies, then he's makdish it, meaning he's only makdish it after the father died and he already got everything to be Yerusha anyway. How do I know that's going to be considered a stei achuza? Tamalom erim estei mechnasa ha-shalom istei achuza. So, same pasuk. Sada sheinu stei achuza yatzu shi stei achuza. This field already is a stei achuza. It's not only right to be a stei achuza. At the time that I makdish it, I already yarshined it. So what's the difference between the two opinions? The first shita, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, are saying a much bigger chiddush. Right, the first sheet is saying that even if the guy was makdashit before he ever received it as a Yerusha, before his father died, we still treat it as a steachuza because it's ra'oi to one day become his Yerusha. Whereas Rameir says, no. Apparently Rameir says, only once it's already become his Yerusha, once his father died, even though at the time that he purchased it prior to it becoming his Yerusha, but so long as it will one day become, so long, but once he's makdashed, it's already his Yerusha, that's when we say it's steachuza, implying that if he were makdashed before it became his Yerusha, then he would not be a stei achuza. Apparently, according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, if the father dies and then you're makdish it after the father already died, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that. So my that it's going to be a stay achluza, because of course it's already your achluza by the time you're makdish it. So my lab b'hakam eflugi. So aren't they arguing about the following? Rameir sava kinyan peros kekinyan aguf dami. Rameir holds that a kinyan peros in land is considered like kinyan aguf. Ubaha b'misas aviv. And therefore, the guy bought the field. All he really bought was a kinyan peros, because Yovel is knowing, right? So he bought the field, he bought a kinyan peros. And when his father died, therefore, nothing changed when his father died, because he already had a kinyan peros, and kinyan peros is kinyan aguf. And that's why I need a pasuk to tell me that even after his father dies, and then he's makdish the field, that it's going to be considered a stei achuza. Because I might have thought that the father dying shouldn't make a difference. That after the father dying should be the same halacha as before the father dying. And if you need to tell me, if a pasuk needs to teach me that before the father dying, it's going to be considered a stei achuza, so a pasuk needs to teach me after the father dying it's going to be a stei achuza, because nothing changes when the father dies, because kinyan peros is already kinyan aguf dami. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf dami. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon say, no, kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf, upahab, misas aviv, hashu hu dekayaris. And this guy, when his father died, now he's yarshing the field. V'hilkach, meisav, v'achach, ikdisha, lo tzrich akra. And therefore, if his father dies, and then he's makdish the field, you don't need a pasuk, because obviously, if meisav, if he just yarshin the whole thing, everything changes when meisav, and therefore the pasuk is only necessary to teach me in a case where he's makdish it before his father died. So isn't that the machlokas? Machlokas tanaim. Amrav Nachman Yitzchak liolamei melach bialmuk savra Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon kinyan peros kinyan guftam. He says no, really, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon can hold kinyan peros is kinyan aguf. Aye, but shouldn't they then say that when the father dies, nothing changes? So no, v'hachar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon kra ashcha v'darish inachinami. You wouldn't need the drasha to in both cases, but they found that the pasuk gives you enough room to make both drashas to darsh in both cases, both the case where I was makdish the field, where a guy was makdish the field before his father died, and the case where the guy was makdish the field after his father died. So they darsh in both. So lichtav rachmana, because the pasuk could have said im estei mekansa asher lo achuzaso, my misdei achuzaso. So it comes to teach me sadashenu ruuya liostei achuza, yatzusha ruuya liostei achuza. Comes to teach me that any field that's even ruuya to be a stei achuza is not going to be labeled the stei mikna, is going to have the halachos of stei achuza. Period. Amar Rabbi Yosef, yilavd Amar Rabbi Yochanan kinyan peros kekinyan aguf dami. If Rabbi Yochanan did not hold kinyan peros kinyan aguf, lo matzu yadav ragla bebeis hamedrash, he would be totally lost in the beis hamedrash, because he would have a big problem. What would be the problem? If he held kinyan peros is not kekinyan aguf dami, what would be his problem? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ha'achan shecholku lukucho seinu makzinu lezel lezebi yovel. Rabbi Yochanan holds that when brothers divide an estate, they're considered to be buying each other's portions from each other. Meaning when I take that field and the brother takes that house or whatever, it's considered that we each bought each other's chelek out. And therefore it goes back at Yovel. At Yovel it goes back into the pot and we need to redivide it. So therefore, when even in a Yerusha, if there's more than one child, more than one son in the Yerusha, even in a Yerusha, all you really have is a kinyan peros in a father's Yerusha. So if you hold kinyan peros is not kinyan aguf, lo mishkachas tamaisi bikurim el chad bar chad ad Yoshua ben Nun. No one would bring bikurim unless you had a straight line of people who only had a single child all the way back to Yoshua ben Nun. Because if there was ever a point along the line where a Yerusha had to be divided, so then all you have is a kinyan peros, because then it always goes back into the pot at Yovel. And if kinyan peros isn't good enough, you would never be able to bring bikurim. So it would turn out that nobody would bring bikurim, because how many people can go back to the days of Yoshua ben Nun and say that they're a chad bar chad, that every single generation, it was their only child, and then another only child, and another only, that would be the only case. But anytime you have to divide up Yerusha, all you are is a lokech, and all you have is a kinyan peros. So it would be lo matzah yadav araglav, you'd be totally lost. Tosav here asks, yeah, well, then we have a problem, because Tosav says, Rabbi Natame asks, Vanu eich matzanu yadenu v'raglenu? How do we find yadenu v'raglenu? We pass on like Reish Lakish, a kinyan peros is lav, kinyan guf dami. And we paskin that b'daraisa ein breira, right? The issue of whether the brothers that divided an estate are considered lukuchos or not is an issue of breira. If you hold that yesh breira, so then you say they're not lukuchos, that whatever each one chooses, it's a glay milsal mafreya, that was his chelek from Shar Rishona when the father first died, that was his chelek the whole time. So then it wouldn't go back. But if you hold ain breira, you hold that you can't do breira, so then all they are is lukuchos. They're buying each other's portions, and it goes back at Yovel. So says Tosos, we have a problem, because we hold ain breira, and therefore all we are is lukuchos when we divide an estate, and we hold kinin peros is lav ki kinin aguftami. So no one should ever be able to bring bikurim. So Tosus says the way we paskin has to be wrong according to this Gemara. So Tosus points out that could be that we don't really paskin kinin peros is lav ki kinin aguftami. It's only in certain cases we paskin kinin peros is lav kinin aguftami. But legabe bikurim, in normal cases, we would paskin kinin peros is kinin aguftami. I mean, you have to say something. Tosfos says another possibility is it could be that you could hold Ein Breira and still say that things don't go back at Yovel, that it's not considered Lukuchos, that a Yerusha would go back at Yovel to the pot to be redivided, because it could be that there's a special Drasha that it's Dafka Lukuchos that go back at Yovel, but anything that comes B'toras Yerusha, even though Ein Achinami, you divided the Yerusha on your own and it was your choice, and you and it's not that it was Breira, that it was yours the entire time, still it wouldn't go back at Yovel because it's still not Lukuchos, it's not something that you had purchased in a normal way, it came b'toras Yerusha. It could be that we would paskin not like Rabbi Yochanan, that even if you say Achin Shechalko are Ein Breira, still it would not go back at Yovel. Amar Rava, Kro Masnisa Masayel Reish Lakish. We have a pasuk and a Tanaic statement that all prove Reish Lakish correct. Kra The pasuk says when it describes how you sell a field when Yovel is no egg, is you cheshbin out the amount of years that you have until the Yovel, and that's what you pay for it. Meaning, makes it sound you're not really buying the guf hakarka, you're selling the shnei tevuos, the amount of produce that the field is going to produce in the next in the coming years up until the Yovel. That's all you're selling is a kinyan peros. So the pasuk strongly implies all it is a kinyan peros, and it's not kinyan aguf. Masnisa detanya, where do the Tanaim say like Reish Lakish? Because we have a brisa bechor notel pishnayim besada achazeres la'av biyovel. Let's say a father dies 5 years before Yovel, so the children divide up the estate, whatever's in the estate, the bechor takes pishnayim, right? 5 years later, it turns out the father had sold some properties, right? So 5 years later, those properties come back at Yovel. Now, how do they divide it? Do they divide it evenly, or do they divide it with the brother taking Pishnayim? Now, generally, when someone owed the father money, and it comes later, the loan is due later after the father died, and someone comes, so then it's called being notal b'ro'i. The Eina b'chor notal Pishnayim b'ro'i kibemuchsak. The b'chor does not get double of something that was not there when the father died, that was not owned by the father when the father died, that was only ro'i for the father to collect when he died. A b'chor only gets pishnayim of what was actually already there when the father died. So what do we consider a field that he didn't have in his hand but was going to return to him at Yovel? So what does the Braisa say? The Bukhar takes Pishnaim of the field that comes back at Yovel. Sounds like it's considered that the father had it the entire time. That the Kinyan Peros that he sold it for was not a Kinyan Aguf. The guy who was holding on to it did not have a Kinyan Aguf. The father had the Kinyan Aguf the entire time. And that's why the Bukhar takes Pishnaim. Amar Abayi Naktinan Baal B'nichsa Yishto Tzarech Harsha'a V'lo Amran El D'lo Nachas Apiri. We say that a husband, when he's dealing with his wife's Nechasim, if he wants to If he wants to go to a din Torah with somebody over karka that belongs to his wife, he needs a harsha'a from his wife. He needs his wife to write him a note that she empowers him to go to a din Torah over this. But v'lo amran el delo nachas apiri, which Rashi explains, that's only if the din Torah doesn't also involve the peros of the karka, because the peros are his. Avol nachas apiri migdum mishtoy din apiri mishtoy din agufa. But if the din Torah Torah also involves the peros of the karka. So since he can go to a din Torah about the peros, so he can include in that din Torah about the karka as well, even without specific permission from his wife. That's how Rashi understands this idea of nachas hapire. The Tos Rid on the margin says v'larman el deleka pira avl ika pira migo de mishtai dina pira mishtai nabi dina aguf. But Tos Rid says no, lo nachas hapire doesn't mean this din Torah involves the peros. It means that this karka in some way might be able to produce peros. If a karka is unable to produce any peros ever, that's when we say the Baal can't go to the Din Torah without his wife. But if the karka is ever going to produce peros, whether this year or in some future time, if this karka is ever going to be able to produce peros, then the husband is able to go to the Din Torah for his wife, even though right now it's not producing peros. In Shulchan Aruch HaShemishpat, Simon Kuf Chav Beis, the Shach and the Sma have machlokas, if there are no peros right now, but peros are going to grow later on in the future years. The Shach is machmir, that you need arsha, and that's called that there are no peros on the field, and the Sma says, no, that's called there are peros, if the peros can be produced. But the Tosrit at least is saying that it's a field that can produce peros, even if the Din Torah is not about the peros. Whereas Rashi would require an even higher standard, that you need the Din Torah to be about the peros, if you don't want to have to get arsha from the wife. Hadnalach Hashalech, says the new Mishnah. Hanizakin Shaman Lahan Be'idis. If a person is collecting damages, someone damaged you and you're collecting damages, you can always collect from the best of his properties. Ubalchov Be'beninis. When you're a Balchov, when you're owed money, so you could collect from only the middle level properties. Uksubasisha Be'ziburus. A woman collecting a ksuba only gets the ziburus. She's only able to collect from the lowest level properties. Rameir Omaraf Ksubasisha Be'inis. Rameir holds though Ksubasisha can be collected from Beninus as well. Ein afran min nechasim shabadim b'makom sheyesh nechasim necharin v'afilu ein ziburis. However, I'm not allowed to go collect from properties that the guy who owes me the money has already sold if he has other properties that he still has in hand to give me. Even if the properties he has in hand are low-level properties, I have to take those before I go to the people that he sold stuff to already and confiscate it from them. Whenever I'm collecting from Yisomim, I'm only allowed to collect the lowest level. Rashi explains, the case is, Reuven had a field. Shimon steals the field from Reuven and then sells it to Levi. Levi makes a number of improvements in the field, grows a lot of peros in the field. Reuven then comes and takes it away from Levi. But he only pays him for the money that he spent, but he doesn't pay him for all the peros and their true value. So Levi's allowed to go back to Shimon and say, give me back the money that you owe me for the peros. So he's allowed to go back and collect from him, but only from he's not allowed to collect from the chasim shubadim because of tikkun olam, which we can explain in the Gemara. V'motzi metzia lo yishav minei tikkun olam. If I find a metzia and I go and I say, look, I found something, and I return it to the owner, and the owner says, wait a second, this is only half the metzia. I think you stole the other half. So I'm not going to have to swear shvus moda b'miktsas, which normally I would be if I owed someone money. Let's say I owed someone money and I said, I owe you $50. And he says, no, what are you talking about? You owe me $100. So I have to swear shvus moda b'miktsas. If it was a metzia, I don't have to swear shvus moda b'miktsas because of tikkun olam. The obvious tikkun olam being, why would I ever want to pick up a metzia and return it if the guy could make me take a shvua by making a claim that I'm not returning the entire thing? So says Gemara, m'nei tikkun olam, dar raisi, d'chsiv metas deo metav karma. How can the Mishnah say that for damages it's only a tikkun olam idea that you pay from the iddis? It's a din daraisa you pay from the iddis for nizikin. So I'm Rabbi Lotzricha El Rabbi Shmuel Dami daraisa b'dinizik sheminan kamashmolim ne tikkun olam sheminan b'demazik. That the chiddush is according to Rabbi Shmuel. That according to Rabbi Shmuel, the din of Meitav Sadeu only comes to tell me that the one who was damaged, he gets paid from his best, from something that equals his best properties. But the one who did the damage, who's doing the paying, doesn't have to pay from his best properties on a Daraisa level. Comes along Tikkun Olam and says that the one who's paying, who did the damage, even though he may own superior properties to the Nizik, is going to have to pay from his own best properties. That's the Tikkun Olam. Tomorrow, I guess, we'll get into which Rabbi Shmuel and this whole discussion of from the Mazik or from the Nizik.